Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
And that always stuck with me, this idea of everyone has a story. And I always find that very interesting. And I want to make sure that, you know, my story and my family's story is documented.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 2. In this episode, I'm interviewing Kim Edson for the My Way series. My Way is all about celebrating the unique ways memory keepers get things done. Kim is a longtime paper scrapbooker who dabbles in hybrid. She also works with me at Simple Scrapper as my teaching assistant. Kim is truly my right-hand gal, and I'm eager for you to get to know her as she'll be a frequent guest on the podcast. Hey, Kim, how are you today?
I am doing well.
I'm so excited about this episode because this is our first in the My Way series, and we're going to be doing these throughout the podcast because I really think it's important to get to know different scrapbookers and see how they do things differently, how they personalize their process and make this hobby really, really work for them. And Kim was the perfect person to have on for our first guest. So Kim, could you just talk a little bit about who you are, where you live, just so people can get to, you know, get that context for who we're going to be talking to today?
Okay, I'm Kim Edson, and I live in central Iowa with my husband and two children, and we have two cats. And formerly, I was a pharmacist for in the retail industry primarily, but also with some consulting work. And now I'm a stay-at-home mom, kind of chasing after my kids, and I help Jennifer out at Simple Scrapper.
And you do an awesome job at that. I could not do what we do, particularly in our membership community, without you.
Oh, thank you so much.
So in every episode, we're going to do this What's Exciting You Right Now segment. And this is where we each share one or two things related to scrapbooking that are new or exciting to us right now. So Kim, are you ready with yours?
I am. So with January, just this last weekend, the Creativation and a lot of the companies were showing some of their new releases for the upcoming months. And I am super excited about the Pink Fresh Studios new collections, especially their Out and About and their Everyday Musing collection.
I really think this show, the session of Creativation, had a lot of really cool products. And I don't remember in the past couple years really been this excited about new products coming out.
I can't say that I recall either. I know that Pink Fresh Studios, they kind of came onto my radar last spring because I liked their release last spring, the Let Your Heart Decide. And I used that one a lot and really liked my layouts with it. So I kind of have a similar feel from some of their new collections here. So I think it would be fun.
Well, I will definitely be looking for those online soon and checking out all the new releases as they come to my favorite online stores. So one of my favorite online stores is buying directly from Allie Edwards, and I love her products. I have subscribed to her story kits and story stamps over the years. I'm not currently subscribed, but I am still purchasing her albums, and she just released a new 6x8 album for this year, and it's in navy, which I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical of because I do a lot of black and white. I subscribed to Felicity Jane. I had bought some of the black and white One Little Word products from Allie at the end of last year, But I needed another 6x8 album, and I wanted to share exactly why I love hers. I love them because they're thick. They have a 2.5-inch spine, which means I can fit a whole year's worth of pages in that size of album. I love just the quality and the consistency in the quality, and that they have that spine label that you can insert your label in. I don't want to have to figure out some hack to figure out how to label my album. I want it to be embedded. And so that's one of the reasons I love her album. I used one last year, also in 6x8. It was a great color. And I anticipate doing so in the future. So that's what I wanted to share as my pick, because I just love that album so much.
I have used her albums as well, because I used to do the Snap albums, but I would have problems with the spine being too narrow. Mm-hmm. And that is a game changer, those bigger spines. And they're good quality albums. So I like those as well.
Cool. All right, so let's get into the interview. Are you ready for this, Kim?
I am.
Okay, so can you tell us, how did you start scrapbooking?
So I started in late 2008. I have twin daughters, those are my two children, and they were not quite 1 year old, and I was finally coming out of the sleep-deprived stupor that I had been in for most of their first year, and I found that I was really kind of drawn to, I've always been drawn to like paper products and photography and story. And so scrapbooking very much intrigued me as a way to combine all of those things. But originally my plan was just to document their first 2 years kind of like as a baby album. And, you know, they'll be turning 12 tomorrow. So that just kind of shows you how well that worked out. So
I think that's a really common story that people start around these big changes in their life. And so I'm wondering, since you got that start, how has your hobby changed in that time? Are you still scrapbooking the exact same way?
No, I am not. So I started, I didn't really know anybody that scrapbooked. I had gotten for Christmas some, I think it was like the Better Homes and Gardens scrapbooks, et cetera, issue. And my mother-in-law had done kind of the traditional scrapbooking for her kids back in the day. And so she'd gotten me some supplies, and so I just kind of was winging it on my own in 12x12 because that is what I saw in the magazines. And that was kind of closer towards this peak kind of, I guess, with the scrapbooking industry. So, you know, locally there were several local scrapbook stores and you just kind of saw it around more. But shortly after that, in kind of 2009, I found Allie Edwards and Kathy Zielski, and then I started taking classes with them. So that definitely evolved my process.
So I'm curious, when you started out in 12x12, were you doing like double page spreads in the kind of quote unquote more traditional sense? Or have you always done single page layouts?
Trying to remember back to some of my early ones. I would do a mix. Like my very first layout I remember was my daughter's like first bath, you know? And then, so it was a lot of like those milestones with newborns. But no, I pretty early on found some pocket page type things. Cause I remember I did a layout that was like hospital visitors, and just some layouts of kind of their early weeks at home. So early on, I kind of jumped in to just whatever I needed to do to make my page. So whether it was single or double, like I didn't let that restrict me. I just remember being very confused by design. Like I knew I would try to lay things out and it would just take me hours and hours because I couldn't identify what I didn't like about it or what was, you know, what wasn't working. And so that's where taking classes really helped me a ton, because then I felt like I was able to identify what was slowing me down and then I could address those things. And then I was happier with my layouts.
Is there one particular class that really had an influence on kind of giving you confidence as in designing your pages?
I would say, the Kathy Zielski Design Your Life class was just like mind blowing to me. That really kind of solidified a lot of the things that I do now. I started with that class, and just her approach, kind of much more like clean, that magazine style approach, really, because I felt like with hers, the focus was really on like the story and the photos. And that's kind of, I mean, I like the product. It's certainly fun and I don't want to create without it, but that definitely drew me to Kathy's style and her approach.
And that also, it gives a little teaser of your you know, love or at least fascination of doing hybrid, but we'll get to that in a minute. So what inspires you to keep coming back to this hobby? You just mentioned stories. Is that kind of your underlying drive or what is it?
Yeah, I would say the stories really kind of are what keep me coming back. I've always been fascinated with like history and like ancestry and kind of knowing the story of like where I came from and my family, and then also like making connections between, you know, time periods and generations. And when I was in college, CBS, I want to say it was like Friday evenings, they would always have a segment. It was called Everyone Has a Story. And this reporter who still works for CBS, Steve Hartman, would do this thing where he would, and I don't know how authentic this was, but it was good for TV. He would throw a dart at a map on the United States, and then he would go to whatever location that dart landed on. And then he'd go to the phone book at that city or town or whatever, flip through it and find a person. And then they'd go track that person down, and then they'd have this amazing story. And that always stuck with me, this idea of everyone has a story. And I always find that very interesting. And I want to make sure that, you know, my story and my family's story is documented.
That raises a really important point, because sometimes we hear from scrapbookers that they don't feel like their story is important. That, you know, sometimes, you know, life isn't always fun and it can feel a little routine and boring and mundane, but there is a story there. We just have to dig underneath the surface and really elevate that and celebrate that routine as the beauty of the life we're living.
I guess my scrapbooking's never just been like for my family or about my family. It's very much about my perspective and my thoughts on things as well. And I feel like that's important for my kids to see that or to hear that or be able to have access to that in the future, to maybe take some things from the lessons that I've learned. So hopefully that will help them in their lives. And maybe, you know, those won't be hard lessons that they'll have to learn on their own down the road.
As a downline ancestor, that I would have loved to have had that. My grandmother kept very meticulous journals for decades of her life. But when she was in her later years, her and my grandpa burned all of them because she felt like it was too private. Now, my grandma was kind of Victorian in her sensibility, so there was nothing in there that would make anyone blush. I know that for sure. But she felt like it was far too private. But I would have loved that window into what she was thinking and feeling.
Well, I will say I have a separate journal, though, and that I don't share publicly, like with my family. So I guess I could see that I have, you know, there's definitely like the stories that I share with others. But also within my journal, sometimes it's me working through what's going on to kind of come to, I guess, a resolution or to be comfortable with whatever the situation is at the time. So I totally understand your point, but I also can kind of see her point.
And that's totally fair. And now that I'm thinking about it, what I recall, but it kind of reminds me of a memory planner. They were these small date books that were actually like, I don't know, probably 2 pages for a week. And she just jotted down, like, took Dave to the dentist today and littler things like that. And it just would have been so fascinating to have. I don't know how much was her feelings in there or not. And I'm not even sure what I'm remembering now. So
yeah, that would be pretty cool. I could see that.
All right. So let's dig into your right now. What are you loving in scrapbooking right now? So first off, what are the formats or the sizes that you're really enjoying?
So I just wrapped up my December album from 2018 and I did 6x8 in that. And then kind of generally for most of my everyday scrapbooking, I do 8.5x11, but I also have some larger theme albums that are 12x12. So I will mix sizes within those larger albums, but kind of depending on, you know, if I'm filling the backside of a 12x12 or whatnot. So it's kind of everything and anything. So the 6x8, the December album is a mix of pocket pages, and then I did 6x8 layouts in that. Generally, I don't do a lot of pocket pages. I used to do Project Life. I did it weekly and then also monthly for several years. And so that I always did just the Becky Higgins Design A page protectors. So I don't really do a ton of pocket pages any longer. If I'd be more apt to do like a collage on like an 8.5x11 and slip that into like a full size page protector. And then as far as formats, I guess I already said I don't do a ton of the Project Life. So I generally do you know, layouts, or I'll do like smaller insert type things. And I do pretty much exclusively now a hybrid type technique that I took away from that Kathy Zielski class that I talked about at the beginning, where I open like a digital template and then I kind of lay out my design within that, or I'll just design one from scratch depending on what I'm working on. And then I can insert my journaling if I want to print it onto the background, or at least then if I do different sizes for the template, then I know what sizes to order my photos in. So basically I lay it all out in Photoshop Elements, but I don't use digital products. So I lay it out, and then if I need to print out journaling or photos, or I'll do that. And then I use just traditional paper products to build the layout, if that makes sense.
It does. Now I'm curious, do you feel like your journaling changes when you have a chance to type it out for the hybrid versus journaling directly on a page?
Yes. And that's why I like the hybrid, because I like the ability just to kind of get my thoughts out. For my writing process, a lot of times I have a hard time just sitting down and kind of gathering all these thoughts into some sort of cohesive message or story. So even if I'm like handwriting something just on like a simple, like a few words on a journal card, I will a lot of times jot down a few words of kind of what I want to say, and then I can formulate that into something. So with the hybrid, with typing my journaling, well, one, I like the look of it. And then two, I can edit it to make it fit, you know, the size I have available, but also to make sure that I've kind of reviewed it and then made sure that the story or the message that I wanted to share is present, I guess, in that writing.
That's a really great point. So I recently tried this technique for the first time, and I loved that I had that chance to edit my words and to make sure the story was what I wanted it to be. Even if I have to, you know, you have to cut out some extra fluff to make it fit, you know that you have the right amount of space because you have that control. Because I don't know how many pages I've made where I'm like, well, shoot, I've filled up my journaling area and I haven't really gotten to my point yet. I guess this is what it is. And, you know, sometimes I'll add like another page for journaling, but I don't always have that opportunity. So there's certainly that sense of control, but that deeper satisfaction of I A-plused this story here.
Well, and like you had mentioned, that was a common concern for me, and I would ruin journal cards like left and right, because it wasn't even that I disliked my handwriting or that I had a problem like crossing out a word I had misspelled or whatever. It was that, yeah, I would yammer on and then get to the end of the card and realize it wasn't actually the story that I wanted to share. So that is probably like the number one reason why I like to do it that way, that approach. And, you know, I mean, we've talked enough that I can talk a lot. So sometimes it takes me a little bit to kind of get to the main point. So that ability, because I do that a lot, I will fill out like everything that's in my head, and then I'll go back through and kind of cut out the non-necessary bits.
I think this is a huge observation. And, you know, so much of what we do at Simple Scrapper and part of what we're going to talk about on this podcast is helping you take that pause to observe what you're doing, identify what's working, and maybe how you might need to tweak things to make them work a little bit better for you. Like I have learned to love the look of journaling by hand on my pages, and I love that my handwriting is represented in my albums. But if you aren't satisfied with your storytelling, you might need to change up that approach and do things a little differently, whether it's writing down notes as you described or doing a more hybrid approach. So let's dig a little bit deeper into your process. When you begin a new page, where do you start? Do you tend to start with photos, a story, a product, or is it a mix?
Like my sizes, it's definitely a mix. It kind of depends on what I'm feeling at the time. So it's important to me to kind of get down like the big stories, to kind of record connections and relationships and people's personalities. But I also really like having kind of our everyday kind of adventures documented as well. So that is one thing I felt like I am missing with not doing the project life, kind of those day-to-day adventures. So I definitely want to make sure that I include those in, you know, my scrapbooks as they are now. So I will start with everything. It just kind of depends on what I'm feeling like selling at the time. Do I feel kind of introspective and wanting to do a bigger story, or do I have photos that I'm just super excited to scrapbook, or some new product that I want to use? So I will do everything, but I will say probably my most favorite layouts are ones that start with a story.
Oh, super fascinating. We recently did a poll in our Simple Scrapper member community of where people start. And I was surprised it was well more than 70% start with the photos. And I thought it would be a much bigger mix.
Well, I think the thing that I get so much satisfaction from the story-focused or story-centered layouts is if there's not necessarily a photo that highlights that story, I kind of feel like that story would be lost if it wasn't documented in my scrapbook. If it's photo focused, a lot of times, like, yeah, we went, you know, and went to the science museum or whatever. Like, part of that story is told just by having the photo. You'll see it, remember it. But these other stories, I'm trying to like think of like an example. Like I did a story, a layout about my husband's grandparents. They have nicknames. And his grandfather has since passed, and his grandmother just turned 90 this month. But before his grandfather had passed, I had asked him kind of the origin of his nickname. And his name was Edward, and his nickname was Woody. And I just always assumed that it was kind of a derivative of Edward to Woody, but it wasn't. There was this whole story about how when he was a child and they would listen to Chicago Cubs baseball on the radio, and his favorite player was named Woody English. And so his grandpa or his father started calling him Woody. And I mean, he had that nickname for almost 90 years. But when I was talking with my husband's family about that, none of them knew that story.
Wow.
And that is just like, it kind of like stops me a little bit to think like, wow, like, I don't know, it just feels like it's such a rich story because it kind of ties like his entire lifetime to who he was as this little boy and what his family enjoyed doing. And, you know, there's no photo. I mean, when I did the layout, I did a photo of him on the layout, but, you know, there's no photo that illustrates that his family would know. And so if I hadn't recorded that, eventually I think, you know, that would just be lost to time.
Oh, for sure. Wow. That's a great story. And it's a perfect example of why we need to dig a little bit deeper and ask about the why and the how, whether that's asking ourselves or our family members or friends to get to the meaning and the heart of it and the things that you're really going to want to cherish and remember in the future. I've been thinking a lot about ways you can do pages that, you know, you mentioned going to the science museum, that you can do pages like at the end of the year saying, here's a list of all of our adventures from the year. And maybe you do a collage of different photos from those adventures. And maybe not all of them are represented photos. Maybe they are. Who knows? You could do whatever format you want. But to really kind of look back and do more of those summary pages so that you have more time and energy for the pages that go a little bit deeper, like your Woody example.
I do remember Becky Higgins. I did like a summer 2009 layout like that. And I think I just had, you know, it was listed like June, and I had like a list of photos and some journaling, and it was kind of almost, it was like a row type, like they went across like rows for the month and the photos and the words. And that was, I think, Becky Higgins, I think, really used to promote, was to do kind of seasonal overviews. And I agree. I think that's great. Or I was looking back. We just finished our winter refresh retreat in Simple Scrapper. And I was kind of looking back to the previous year's photos, kind of seeing what I've scrapbooked and what I haven't. And a lot of times, if I don't feel like there's a bigger story on its own, I can kind of look over the span of time. Like, we like to sled at like the same sledding hill every year. So I at one point took like several years of sledding photos and then made a layout of them. And kind of my plan going forward is to use like pocket pages or collages, and I can add, you know, additional years of photos within that same theme, but I don't need to do a new layout every time we go sledding.
Great point.
So they're still included. So either you can do it seasonally or you can do it based on whatever your topic is. So we have it's like a historical village and farming type thing where they basically recreated 1875, and it's very picturesque and enjoyable, and it's all this interactive, and there's, you know, people dressed up like interpreters, and you can go chat with them and learn about the time period. And so for a few years we had memberships there. It was essentially just like this really gorgeous park you could go hang out at all day, and my kids loved it. So rather than doing, you know, I mean, we'd go multiple times over the course of the summer. So then that was like another example where I just did like a summary page of, you know, these were our favorite things from visiting, you know, Living History Farms this summer. So yes, I definitely like the theme or overview type pages.
Well, it just takes a little bit of planning and intention to mark down that you do want to do this and maybe you have to wait for a certain period of time, but to really just set that aside and know that this is something good that I can do. And there's always so many ideas for that, but it does take a little bit more to gather it together, and that's okay. That I think that sometimes that ends up being the most rewarding type of project.
Yes, I would agree on all aspects of that.
All right. So the last part of this question is, what products are you loving right now? You mentioned before some of the things you're looking forward to, but what are you actually digging into and using the most of?
So I had mentioned I just finished that December album, and I had done a lot of Felicity Jane products for that. And so I especially like their pattern papers. I feel like they're really usable and they worked well with my photos. And so I enjoy their products a lot. And then I had recently gotten my first wild hair kit. And when it came, it's like a curated kit club where you fill out kind of what you like to use and what you dislike using and kind of your favorite things. And they kind of curate it and send it to you. And when I first got it, like, I was super excited about the papers. And I had said that I liked wood veneer and I liked some stamping. And then I was kind of, the papers, that was spot on. That was really good. But some of the embellishments, I was a little just kind of like, oh, I mean, these will be okay. But then I ended up using a ton of them in my December album. So it just kind of goes to show you that at some point you think you know your process, which at some point, you know, I think that's important to be true to your style. But it is also very valuable every now and then to maybe try something new. So within that specifically, there was some products from Jen Hanfield with Pebbles. I think it was the Along the Way collection. Some of the papers were there, and then a lot of the wood veneer. And then there was an American Crafts. It was like a phrase kind of puffy sticker sheet. They were kind of raised, but they're like that glossy kind of puffy sticker where there was like word phrases and little like hearts and stars. And so I use that a ton. So it was fun.
Yeah, I love just having the opportunity to explore new products. I probably don't do it as much as I should. Like, I certainly have a bin of like things that I bought that, you know, I didn't buy with particular intention of. Maybe it was a kit club I subscribed to, but I find it super fun to dig through and say, okay, what can I make from this? How can I challenge myself? How can I use this strange type of product that I've never used before or haven't used in a long time? And that can be really kind of creatively inspiring and help take you in an even new direction.
Well, and you also do kit clubs though, correct?
Yes.
Like your regular subscription. So at some point, you know, you kind of get whatever they send you. Though, I mean, they probably have a similar vibe from month to month, but that would introduce you to some new things.
In a future episode, you're going to be interviewing me and I'll talk a little bit about that, because there's some kit clubs where I find I will use really almost 99% of everything and it's very much my style. And other ones there's much more of a variety of products, and some of the things I'm like, I'm not sure what to do with this.
Kit clubs, I like the idea of them, but I've never actually subscribed consistently. I'll just buy one-off kits that kind of catch my eye. And part of that is kind of the idea of wanting to make sure it's something that I will use. But I think this was a good illustration to me that, you know, every now and then it's nice to kind of, you know, go out of that kind of little box that I've created for myself and try new things.
Well, we all do that. We all create our little boxes, and there's a huge benefit to that in terms of finding your own ease and flow in the hobby, is staying within your box and not trying to go out too much, particularly if you're finding frustration or you're having trouble getting started. Is do what you know, do what you love, do it again and again. And then it's when you need that creative boost, or maybe you're feeling like you're in a rut or you're bored, is when you go out and try something different.
Definitely.
So switching gears here, I'm curious, how do you stay organized? Are there particular solutions that you would recommend? And you can touch on one or all of these, but in the area of photos, supplies, and ideas. So I'm curious.
Okay, so I use Lightroom for my photos. And I just recently went back and kind of did, I think 2007 is kind of when I had started like with digital photos. So all of my digital photos, I kind of went through, and it took me 2 years. So I went through and deleted out all just kind of like the oddball duplicates, because I never had. I would always just upload them and like move on with life. And I was finding it very frustrating to find my photos because I would have to weed through all these that I didn't want to keep anymore. Or it was just, I have like 5 copies of the same basically photo, like which is the best one or two. I don't need to keep all of these. So I went through that. And when I was doing that process, I did add just kind of some high level tags in Lightroom. And I know that sometimes you're not always the biggest fan of the tagging. And I think some of it depends as software kind of advances and gets better for like auto searches and those sorts of things. But I'm finding, especially for those connection type photos that we just talked about, that is like been super helpful for me because like, for example, I'm working on a layout right now and, 1 year for Christmas, we got our girls a kit subscription. So like every month it was a cooking subscription that was meant for kids. And so I wanted to do that as an example of like, I didn't, you know, every month they got this kit and we'd make these recipes. And a lot of the months I would take photos of them like in action. And I didn't do a layout for every month, but now I want to go back and kind of do an overview layout. And so I just have like in the kitchen, because we do a lot of like baking and kind of cooking here. So I will just tag it. So basically I can just go back through that whole year, pull up, I've tagged it with my kids' names and then kind of what we do. And like I said, when I first started tagging years ago, it was very, very narrow. So I've learned, you know, at some point I want to narrow it down a little bit, but I can quickly and easily scan through my digital photos. But I don't want to have to deal with going through a whole year's of photos. So if I can kind of narrow it down. But that really helped me find those photos quickly and easily so I can move on to my layout. So I use Lightroom and I do high-level tagging. So that's kind of organizing my photos.
It's not that I don't like tagging, is that I'm kind of lazy and I don't always want to do it. I certainly think there's a value in it, but as artificial intelligence is improving, I'm finding in the Lightroom CC app on my phone and in the Lightroom web version, it's starting to become really, really sophisticated in terms of what you can search for. You can search for like a color, or you can search for food, and it will try to identify the photos that you have that have those things in it. And you can also help it determine individual people and identify those people in your family, whether you're in CC or in the classic version of Lightroom. So as that's changing, that's making me even less inclined to tag.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That concept in general of being able to find similar photos is hugely valued, no matter how you do it, whether you use folders or tags or artificial intelligence. Finding those similar photos over time gets to those meteor stories as we've been talking about.
Yeah. And I will say, like, when I started it, like, this whole process, like, 2 years ago, that's kind of where I started. So I just, like, finished it out. But this kind of leads me to the next thing that we've talked about, the Toady app, T-O-D-Y, and I was introduced to it by the Lazy Genius podcast as kind of like a household management type app. And so in theory, it's kind of designed to kind of keep you on track with kind of household chores, but you can also customize it to whatever you like. So I had at the beginning of the year added like once a week, I want to upload my photos from my phone or from my camera. And then I'm just like addressing them at that time. So when I go through and, you know, delete out which ones I don't want to keep, I can like super quickly like tag, you know, because at some point like the date's there. So I'm just kind of putting like who's in it and like what we're doing. But so I do that. I'm starting to do that every week. And I'm finding that to be helpful just for keeping on top of it. But also because I've kind of gone through this evolution where I was finding I was not taking a lot of photos. And I would like to get more into doing that regularly again. So, you know, beginning of the week, if I go to upload photos and I like have one photo, that kind of tells me that maybe this week I need to like pull out the camera and set it there and kind of as a reminder to get me snapping photos again.
I think that's one of the hugest benefits of routines is helping you stay in touch with whatever it is that you're valuing and you find important, whether that's, you know, making sure your sinks are clean or that you're uploading photos. Having those things on a cyclical basis helps you just stay aware and in tune with the need so that you can then make a next step for whatever it is that zone of your life really needs. And I love that app. I've always been calling it Toddy, though. So we can call it Toddy. I don't know what it's supposed to be.
I don't. Yeah, because I don't know if it's like today or to do or tidy, or I don't know what the variation is. We might need to confirm this.
Yeah, but maybe the owners can tell us. But I do know that it is available for Android now, which was an excitement for me. I'd been using it on my daughter's iPad, which is sometimes hard to find because it's always wherever she put it or in her hands. So I'm glad I can have it on my own phone now.
That would definitely make it easier. I see this organization. I can really quickly hit supplies. I've gotten to the point where my supplies, I've tried organizing by type and I've tried organizing by color and I've tried organizing by manufacturer. And I'm kind of to the point now where I do a mix of all those three things. So I have a lot of like the manufacturers that I tend to like and I use a lot of. They each get like their own little basket and I put all of the embellishments that I've gotten from them in their own little basket, and then kind of everything else, or, you know, as maybe I kind of use up a lot of the supplies from this manufacturer, they'll get divvied out to like color bins. And then also like I'll have like my letter stickers, and those are kind of filed separately and my papers filed separately. So I kind of have a mixture of approaches depending on what the product is and who makes it and kind of how I use it or how I look for it.
And has that really evolved over time for you?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I've done, like I said, variations thereof. The one that I kind of had used the longest was the color approach. And I really liked that because when I was making it, I wasn't thinking like, oh, I need to go find, you know, a red tag, or I need to go find like a tag. I would think I need something red. So that helped me just, I would go to like the kind of red bin. And I don't have enough space to have, you know, a bin for every color of the rainbow. So I kind of have like, you know, I think there's like red and orange, and there's like a green one and a blue one. And like, you know, so some of them are mixed together, but that has definitely helped. But then I did find, I think last summer we were working through, I think it might've been during a refresh, and it occurred to me that I was getting a lot of things from like when I get collection kits from manufacturers, I didn't want to divvy them out into my color bins because as I was using them, I wanted to kind of use, you know, the supplies that they kind of put together for it. So that kind of led me to make a space to have them have their own basket for like my favorite manufacturers.
Well, I love that you've really learned to personalize your process. And that's really the whole meat of this podcast here is that it will change over time, but you have to ask those questions of how do I look for things? Like how does my brain work when I'm scrapbooking so that I can align my storage and my supply organization to fit that? Not necessarily what's the prettiest or what everyone else is doing, but what's going to help me scrapbook faster and easier.
Definitely.
So what about your ideas? Like you mentioned like pages that you want to create and projects that you know you want to do. How do you keep those organized? Do you use your Lightroom catalog as kind of the spurring point, or do you do something else?
I use a mix. I spread everything around. We used in, I want to say it was last spring in the Simple Scrapper group, a member shared how she was using an app called Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O, to kind of organize her stories and that she wanted to tell. And that really appealed to me. And I find it very easy to use. So that's kind of my master list of what I want to be working on. Because so kind of as I come up with an idea, I can put it there and I know that it's not going to get lost on like a little piece of paper somewhere. So that's kind of the home. And then you just released the Scrapbook Your Way workbook this last month. So within that, I've kind of broken down. I've gone to my master list in Trello and kind of identified what I want to work on kind of in this immediate like month or season. And so I kind of will transfer them to that point. So that's kind of like my working starting point. And then kind of as I work through those, or if I'm finding like I'm not excited about those stories, I can kind of revisit my Trello boards.
I love that idea. And I love that you emphasize that you can use a mix of digital and analog tools. Because I don't know about you, I love the satisfaction of actually crossing something off by my hand. It doesn't feel as exciting to click a button online. But I certainly use those online tools to just, those are the best ways to aggregate large amounts of information. But they can't replace that checkbox on the piece of paper.
No, I'm very much still like, I like to make like paper lists. It's like you said, and then I think it helps my brain. I don't know. There's all those studies about how your brain processes information differently, whether it's typed or if it's written. So I think it kind of cements it more in my mind, like, okay, this is what I'm working on now. But I have Trello kind of as that holding point. Because what would happen before is I'd make a list or I'd think, oh, I want to make that layout. And like, it sounds silly, but it was kind of stressful to me. It was like, well, I need to make it right away or I'm going to forget about it or I better order those photos. And then eventually I might not be as excited about it. But that's kind of where the Trello is. That kind of holds everything. And then I can kind of pick and choose from there what I want to do or what I'm excited about.
I love that. All right, Kim. So here's our last question. And it's kind of a big one. What is your biggest lesson learned from your scrapbooking experience so far?
I think it has a lot to do with knowing, and we talk about this all the time at Simple Scrapper, but kind of knowing your why, like what, and not even just like overall, because it will change. Like, you know, today or this month, I'm excited to use these new products. So that's what I'm going to focus on. Or overall for me, a lot of times it's story focused. So, you know, as I've evolved with my scrapbooking, you know, I've definitely kind of created my approach or my process that kind of lets me tap into that. So I think it kind of really comes back to knowing like why you want to do it and why it's important to you, whether it's just because it's fun or because the stories matter or you just want a cool place to put your photos. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that I've gotten over the years.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming on today. And everyone, thank you for listening. Until next time, remember you have permission to scrapbook your way.